It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Guy Raz. And on the show today, ideas about digital manipulation.
All right, let me ask you about Kayla. Tell me what is Kayla? Tell me about Kayla.
So Kayla, I would say, was an internet connected doll.
Kayla knows millions of things.
The children could talk to the doll.
How do you make a cake?
Mix eggs, flour, milk,
and
butter.
The doll would use speech recognition technology and answer the child's questions.
My friend Kayla talks, listens to you, plays games with you, and knows millions of things.
And because Kayla talks to you and listens to you and knows millions of things, Finn Meerstadt, who is the director of digital policy at the Norwegian Consumer Council, wanted to see how easily Kayla could be hacked.
We decided to investigate or look at this doll more closely, and what we discovered was that it had very little security, so anyone within Bluetooth range or within a certain distance could basically connect to the doll through their phones and initiate a two-way conversation.
Hi, my name is Kayla. What is yours?
Finn.
On the TED stage, you do this, you bring out a colleague who, from like backstage, is talking to you through Kayla and presumably could talk to a child in their bedroom.
Is your mom close by?
No, she's in the store.
Do you want to come out and play with me?
That's a great idea.
Great.
It's totally weird.
Yeah. And it's completely, of course, unacceptable. And what made this story worse was that it was a label on the on the packaging saying that this was an internet-safe doll, when it really had no safety or security precautions in it whatsoever.
Now, did Kayla, like, also listen in on the things people were telling her and then using that information?
Well, we read the terms and conditions that no one reads, and in there, the company reserved the right to use the voice recordings of the child and use it for targeted advertisement, for example. But because we don't have any protections when it comes to data or when it comes to security, the market is flooded with insecure products and products which has a business model of selling our data. And that really decreases trust, and it leaves people completely apathetic to this.
Okay, so Kayla might sound like an extreme example of a tech company acting irresponsibly, but is it really? Is it an anomaly? Because when you unwrap Kayla and install the companion app, there is a user agreement.
So we read also the terms and conditions that no one reads.
The terms and conditions that no one reads. Finn Meerstadt continues the story from the TED stage.
Like most of you, I have dozens of apps on my phone. And used properly, they can make our lives easier, more convenient, and maybe even healthier. But have we been lulled into a false sense of security? It starts simply by ticking a box. Yes, we say, I've read the terms, but have you really read the terms? Are you sure they didn't look too long? And the last time you tried, they were impossible to understand? And you needed to use the service now. And now the power imbalance is established. Because we have agreed to our personal information being gathered and used on a scale we could never imagine. This is why my colleagues and I decided to take a deeper look at this. We set out to read the terms on popular apps on an average phone and to show the world how unrealistic it is to expect consumers to actually read the terms. We printed them, more than 900 pages, and sat down in our office and read them out loud ourselves.
Angry Birds Terms of Service. The following terms of service and end-user license agreement.
Streaming the experiment live on our websites took quite a long time.
This EU
took us 31 hours, 49 minutes, and 11 seconds to read the terms on an average phone.
And Rovio Entertainment.
That is longer than a movie marathon of the Harry Potter movies and the Godfather movies combined. And reading is one thing. Understanding is another story. That would have taken us much, much longer.
But this isn't just about, like, a creepy doll or like, how incredibly frustrating and unrealistic it is to have to read hundreds of pages of user agreements. I mean, all of this data collected on us, I mean, companies can and do use it in some really you know, sleazy ways, right?
Yeah. And what we're seeing increasingly is that this data can also be used to discriminate people. You won't see an ad because you're, for some reason, put in a high-risk category. We know that housing ads have not been shown to people of a certain ethnic minority, for example, so you can discriminate based on ethnicity. And we know that job ads have not been shown to people living within a certain zip code or with a certain profile. We know that this data can be used to determine whether you're a risky consumer or not. So access to your to credit can be a problem. And you won't even know, because it will just be a computer giving you a price or denying you access to a service, and you won't know why.
Finn, every single one of us, right, we download apps and we go to certain pages, and oftentimes we give consent without thinking about it for a variety of reasons, because we're out of time or we're in a hurry, whatever it might be. But then these technology companies, their response is, well, listen, we warned you. We gave you all of the information. You made a decision to opt in. But that's actually such an infuriatingly disingenuous response.
Yeah, I would agree to that, because, for example, let's use Facebook as an example. It's the world's most popular social network. And if you want to stay in touch with your friends, for most people, that's how you do it, either through Facebook or Instagram, which is also owned by Facebook.
Sure.
So we have to also keep in mind that most people have lots of other things to worry about. They have to go to work, they have to buy food that is safe and good, and they have to take their kids to football practice. So taking these very complicated decisions that could have detrimental effects in the long term, in the short term, we are not really equipped psychologically to take that into consideration.
I can't help but think that a capitalist model makes this an impossible problem to solve, because data is so valuable. It is increasingly important to these companies' bottom lines and to their market capitalization. Why would they possibly give this up?
No, and probably they won't, unless there is actually external pressure. And I think that's probably where, you know, the citizens can make a difference to tell our decision makers, our politicians, that we care about this, that we don't want this to be an individual choice. And I think this should be regulated the same way we regulated the environment, the water, big oil companies, tobacco, and all of these things.
I mean, Google and Facebook, this is their bread and butter. They control a huge percentage of the digital ad market. How could they change their business model to continue to make money if that's obviously their priority and their responsibility to their shareholders?
Well, I think there is a discussion now whether you could, for example, serve contextual ads where you actually don't need to collect any data about the user, where based on which website you're on, you'll see ads that would be relevant to users of that website. I would happily use Facebook, and if they asked me every beginning of every month or beginning of every year, what things are you interested in? What would you like to see of ads? And it was my choice to say, I'm interested in sports, I'm interested in news, and you don't need to track me in order to know that. I will actually willingly be telling them that.
I mean, the companies argue, look, we're targeting people because it's better for their lives, it improves their lives, it's more efficient, it gives them opportunities to buy the things they need. We need this data to make, to offer a better experience for consumers. They genuinely believe that what they're doing is for the greater good.
Yeah, I've also heard that, and I also see that when I meet with these companies. There's a lot of really good and smart people working at these big tech companies, but what I feel is that they are not at all, or the corporate culture, the company's structures are not open for scrutiny. They are not open for transparency. And they say, trust us. We will have your best interests in mind. And I think with all these privacy scandals, people are losing trust and these companies are becoming increasingly more unpopular. But because they have such a strong grip on the markets, I would call them monopolies, it's really hard for consumers to vote with their feet because they have nowhere else to go.
That's Finn Meerstad. He's Director of Digital Policy at the Norwegian Consumer Council. You can see his full talk at TED.com.